First of all, thank God for all of you being here. I really appreciate it. So without further ado, we'll get into the lesson. Today's lesson is entitled Support Your Local Church. It consists of three parts as follows. One, membership in the church. Two, responsibilities to the church, part one. Three, responsibilities to the church, part two. This morning we will cover membership in the church. The title for our lesson was adopted from a movie made in 1969 starring James Garner, entitled Support Your Local Sheriff. The topics of today's lesson are as follows. Membership in the church, the local church, is local church membership necessary? Excuse me. In most congregations, there are varying degrees of commitment among the members as follows. The faithful few, those who can be counted on to do whatever is needed. The fairly faithful, those who attend services somewhat regularly, but are not as dependable. The C&E group, those who attend services only on Christmas, Easter, and other special days. Then there is the FPO group, those who attend services only when there is a funeral. It is helpful to remember that membership in the body of Christ has many blessings. One is a relationship with Jesus Christ and all which that entails, which is found in Ephesians, the first chapter, in verse 3, which says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But there are also responsibilities incumbent upon the members, as stated in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 25, which states, Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. But what are our responsibilities as members of the body of Christ? And what are our duties to one another as members of a local church? I'm going to start with a review of what is meant by the phrase membership in the church. The church universal. Here's going to be the Cliff Notes version. The very first thing to understand is that according to the Bible, there is only one body or one church. And this is stated in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. The next point, Christ is the head of that one body or one church, as stated in Colossians, the first chapter, in verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. The key points of these two texts are as follows. When the Bible mentions the word body or church, it is only talking about one body or one church. Point number two, that Christ is the head of that one body or one church. Additionally, that one body is also the church of which Jesus spoke of in Matthew, the 16th chapter, in verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Note the usage of the term it, which is singular or only one. That one body, the church, is made up of all the saved, as noted in Acts, the second chapter, in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. A person is added by the Lord to that one church or one body when they are baptized. That's found in Acts, the second chapter, verses 41 through 47. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Bible also states that Christ is the Savior of only that one body, the church, as stated in Ephesians the 5th chapter in verse 23. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, for verification purposes, the next slides contain different biblical translations of the verses in Ephesians the 4th chapter and verse 4, and also Colossians the 1st chapter and verse 18. What I would like for you to do is to note how they are rendered. First, Ephesians the 4th chapter and verse 4. Hopefully you can see them. For those of you that cannot see them, they are all rendered in a similar fashion so that it is impossible to get another understanding. They all mean the same thing. And I will go upon that further. They all mean the identical thing. Okay. Next is Colossians, the 1st chapter, in verse 18. Again. They're all rendered in a similar fashion. Okay. Also, just for informational purposes, every verse that I have used or will use in this lesson has been checked against these texts, and they all read and are rendered in the same fashion. In summary, when the Bible mentions the word body or church, it is only referring to one, as noted in Ephesians the 4th chapter and verse 4. Christ is the Savior of that one body or church in Ephesians the 5th chapter and verse 23. One of its names is Churches of Christ, as stated in Romans, the 16th chapter, and verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. You can tell if you are in the right church by the doctrine that it teaches. And this is found in Romans, the 6th chapter, and verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. From the scriptures that were provided, we should have a good understanding of what the Bible means when it's talking about or mentions the word church or body. Next is the topic of the local churches in the Bible. There are many examples of New Testament Christians who live together in a particular location who function together as a congregation. Two examples are as follows. 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, in verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Also, Colossians, the 4th chapter, verse 16. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. One joins a local church when they seek to work with other Christians. And this is found in Acts, the 9th chapter, in verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Membership in the local church is by a mutual agreement among Christians. The next and final point is membership in the local church necessary? Can one just have a floating membership without joining a particular congregation? The answer is no. The answer is that the mere provision of local churches in God's word implies two things: a divine purpose for the local church and a corresponding responsibility for Christians to join themselves to it. The idea of becoming a Christian and never being part of a local congregation is foreign to the scriptures. What I mean by this is that we have no command, example, or necessary inference of this ever happening. Membership in the church also comes with responsibilities toward Christians, which will be covered in the next topic in this lesson series entitled Responsibilities to the Church. And with that, I'll bring this lesson to a close. I also never end without offering an invitation. We have a process or a plan for becoming a member of the church, and it is as follows. First, you must hear, and it's stated in Romans 10, 17, so in faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Next, you must believe. That's found in John 8, chapter, verse 24. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. After that, you must repent. That's found in Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 3 through 5. Luke 13 and 3 says, I tell you no. Except you repent, you will all likewise perish. After that, you must confess. That's found in Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. But if you can believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and the mouth, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Last but not least, in Matthew, Mark 16, verses 15 through 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. He shall be condemned. If there are any who wish to be baptized into the Lord's church or to repent, would you please come as we sing the Lord's invitation song.